It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi, brought to you by Vermont Victory Greenhouses and Gardener Supply. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Well, Charlie, you've shared your expertise on this particular gardening technique before. It's intriguing, and I'd love to hear more about companion planting. What is it? What are its merits, and how do we do it?
Yeah, so people have heard of companion planting. Maybe a lot of our listeners have actually been out there doing it for years. And it's mostly based on folklore, and there's nothing wrong with folklore, of course, but there really hasn't been any scientific evidence up to this point that really points to what kind of combinations really work in the garden. Up until the last few years or so, more and more scientists around the country and around the globe have been doing tests and doing scientific studies on companion planting. And a lot of them are highlighted in a book that came out last year by a friend of mine. Her name is Jessica Walzer, and the book's name is Plant Partners. And I wanted to highlight some of the things in there that she found that researchers were saying really worked. One thing you can do is put plants together that will help each other nutrient-wise. So for example, we have peas growing on a trellis right now. Of course, a legume that fixes nitrogen. We plant lettuces, kale, Swiss chard, any of the greens that like a lot of nitrogen right along the rows of peas. And you see that those greens really grow strong because that nitrogen that gets fixed is able to go into the soil, and then the plants pick it up and they grow well. Another way to do that is to look at the root depths of plants. So lettuce, for example, is very shallow root, whereas a carrot is very deep root. So they're mining different aspects of the soil profile so they won't be in competition with each other. I have a friend who has asparagus, deep-rooted, next to some strawberries, shallow-rooted, and they seem to do well together also. But most people think about it as far as insect controls. And so one thing you could do is plant trap crops, like a Hubbard squash, to attract the squash vine borers. Plant those away from your garden so they don't go into your garden and get your other squashes that you really like. Or you could do things that are really fun. Plants like nasturtiums next to zucchini and summer squash. Now, nasturtiums put off an aroma, a pheromone, whatever you want to call it, that the squash bugs get confused about, and they can't find the zucchini plants. They don't lay as many eggs and you don't have as many problems. The same is true with tomato hornworms and basil. You plant basil next to your tomato plants, the basil puts off this aroma that the tomato hornworm moth can't find the tomatoes and so doesn't lay its eggs. So there's a number of great examples, not only with insects, also with diseases and nutrient sharing that you can find just by doing some companion plants.
All right, let's get planting. Question time. This one from Karen in Elmore. Karen writes, Charlie, I was pruning dead branches from my blueberry bushes. I noticed one plant had black spots on the stems. They look like spider mite spots, but they're black and not white. What's up with my berries and how can I help the bushes?
Yeah, well, pruning off, Karen, those dead branches is always a good idea to clean up the plant. As far as the black spots in the leaves, we've had a lot of rain this spring. It could be a fungal disease that's on the leaves. If you want to try spraying something like a neem oil, which is a pretty innocuous fungicide spray to spray, that might help with it. But another thing you might want to consider doing is doing a little fertilizer too. This is a good time of year to fertilize your blueberries, especially if you need to lower that pH. So that would be another possibility. And then next year, maybe do a little more pruning of your blueberries so you can stimulate some new growth. That will invigorate the plant. You'll have less dead branches and hopefully a bigger, bushier plant.
Charlie Barry in Ripton writes, 2 years ago, I emailed you about a woodchuck that was demolishing our asparagus and whether it would still be viable last summer. Well, good news, it was. But last year, I was unable to stay on top of the prodigious crop of asparagus beetles and their hungry larvae. A second summer without good ferns. This spring, the asparagus are coming up, but they're really skinny. Should I harvest the thin roots or let them go to fern from the get-go?
I think, Barry, because you've had such damage to your asparagus from the asparagus beetles and woodchucks, that you probably should just let those go. If the rule of thumb is usually if the asparagus spears are narrower than a diameter of a pencil, then you should just let it go to fern. I would also, though, encourage you to fertilize it with compost now to put that all around the plant and make sure you have good drainage in that soil because asparagus doesn't do well with a really heavy clay soil. And those things hopefully will bring it along a little faster, and then next year we'll start working on the asparagus beetle.
Questions for Charlie about your garden? Send them to us, gardening@vermontpublic.org. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.